downstairs. That was real good. It reminded me of the sins of my youth. I remember going to an all-day service one time. They had dinner on the grounds, and I ate and ate, and then finally they got to the desserts. I ate three or four of those, and so I got sick. But it was mighty good, mighty good. And we've enjoyed the fellowship today. It's good to be saved, isn't it? Know the Lord, amen. Praise His name. Now let's take our Bibles, if we would, and turn again to John's Gospel, chapter 3. We would like to look again at God's love. John's Gospel and chapter 3. John's Gospel and chapter 3. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And then we notice again, verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Might we pray? Father, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you for the gathering today we've had in the name of the Lord Jesus. What a sweet and wonderful privilege it is to gather in his name, to break bread, and to remember what was done for us on Calvary's cross, to gaze upon him. And then we think of the singing these wonderful hymns that we think of the work of the Lord in saving us and blessing us. And then we think of your word in our heart, the fellowship that we have had. And as you fed the thousands we know in ancient times, you fed us today. And we thank you for your word and all blessing. We pray for the people here in a real special way. We pray that you'll bless them. Bless them in the word. And we know the church is in the word. And we pray that you'll continue to bless them in the things of the Lord. Encourage their hearts. Lift them up, and may they be helped in the way. May they realize the strong hand of the Lord ever upon them and blessing. May young people come to you. We thank you for the children and for the young people, and we pray that you'll bless each one of them as they go out to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his praise and for his honor. Now we pray that you'll keep each safe in the arms of Jesus. We pray that you'll protect each one and just keep each one in the hollow of your hand. Whatever that need might be, lift them up and guide them, and may each be conscious of the love of God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We've been looking at this wonderful verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Golda May and I were in a restaurant some time ago, and we had some of these little verses that you stick on your refrigerator with the magnets and so forth. And we left one there for the young lady along with a tip, and she appreciated, I think, the little verse on John 3:16 more than she did the tip, I believe, because it thrilled her heart. You know, John 3:16 is a strong and a powerful verse. And it still is just as powerful today as it has ever been. It's known by all. I'm sure that each one could say it by heart here tonight. You know it. You know the words of it. But yet it comes through strong and wonderful that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I learned something as a young man I've never forgotten, and I've gone out in the work of the Lord with that in my mind and in my heart. You can argue with people, you can do this and that or the other, and it will not matter to a snap of the finger, but you go out with the love of God and that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Tell them that Jesus died for them, that He loved them, that He rose again, that He's coming back again. And you know, there's power in the love of God, dear friend, tonight. There is power. In your home, in your life, in everywhere you go, the love of God is strong and powerful. And I would say this, I know in my life, every failure has always been traced back to a lack of love. The more we love, the more we know, and the more we see the blessing of the Lord. Now, the Bible is full of the love of God. You can trace it in the Old Testament. You can trace it in the New. We look in the Old Testament, and you know it tells us that God loved Israel. When Israel was a child, I loved him. We can look in the Song of Solomon and we can see the love of God as it moves down and comes to our hearts and our souls. The Old Testament is filled with God's love. And as we look at mercy and love, all of God's love comes down in His mercy. And in His wrath, there is always mercy, and God is love. And you know, we find it in the New Testament. I love 1 John where it says God is love. It doesn't say that God is like love. It doesn't say anything about descriptions of it. It says God is love, and love is God. You can reverse it and see it in that way. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in him, and God in him, and so forth. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Dear friend, this is where the love of God was manifested, in that God gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary. And if we love the Lord, we will love one another. Isn't that wonderful tonight? It makes us love one another. It makes us love one another in the joy of the Lord. My father, one time, I shall never forget, down at the lake, when they lived down there, he told a preacher, Vines Turner, he told him, he says, you know, Vines, he says, you might as well love me now, because you're going to have to love me throughout all eternity. And Vines Turner looked at him and he said, yes, Tommy. But you'll be changed. You'll be changed. And that is true. We'll all be changed. We'll be different, dear friend, as we think of God's love. But you know, we can love each other. And we can show the joy and the blessing of the Lord and the wonderful things in the Lord Jesus Christ. I found that love always gives a multitude and a blessing in the Lord. I am an elder in Silas City, but I let the men do the talking mostly. I sit back. But as I think about it, I don't argue with them over anything. I don't argue about anything. Very rarely would I come forth with anything much in those lights. But you know, I found this. There is a place for that. But I found this. Love covers a multitude of sins. Now, this is true in the assembly. And you know, the Bible says Christ loved the church. And there's more of the Word of God. We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. A man came to Harry Ironside, the preacher, on one occasion and says, you know, I feel like I love my wife too much. Aaron said, well, brother, you don't need to worry about that. You don't need to worry about that, because he said you can love your wife just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You cannot outdo that, to love your wife. That we find that in the scriptures and in the Word of God. I told a relative A few years back, he was criticizing his wife, and I said, "Now, you don't do that." I said, "You love your wife." And he said, "But you don't know her," and so forth. I said, "Yes, I do know her. I did know her." And I said, "You love her," and so forth. But I don't know whether he took it to heart or not, but I sure gave it to him. He was a lot younger than I was, and so I just let it out. But you know, dear friend, you can see God's love in every way, love in the home, love in the assembly as we look at it, love in our communities, in our joy. I remember living down in Victoria, Virginia for 20 years. And you know, I just feel every time I go down there, I feel still the same love that we've had in Jesus Christ. And you know, that's what it's all about. You have the same thing here in Richmond, the love of God in Jesus Christ. The Lord loved Israel. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, we find in the Word of God, now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Jesus, that is love. God is love, and we dwell in love, and we dwell in God. Isn't it wonderful tonight to be in the love of Jesus? And we can sing and we can say it, "Oh, how I love Jesus." That's a wonderful name. And we love Him tonight. And we gather in His name. Well, man, I was in Siler City some time ago in a restaurant there. And there was some preachers over there. And they were eating ears. And I could tell the way they were talking, I knew they were preachers, you know. And after a while, I engaged them. I won't mention what they were, and we had a good talk with him. And after a while, he looked at me and he said, "Are you a blank?" And I won't mention the name that he mentioned. And you know, I wasn't trying to be smart. I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck. I really didn't know what to say to him. And so I kind of hesitated and I said, "Well, I am a Christian." But you know, I think it spoke to his heart, and he looked so strange. He had nothing to say. And I thought, why can't we have some wonderful fellowship together? You know, if you're a Christian, I don't know about their group or what they are or what they do, but if they trusted in Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, they're on their way to heaven, and praise the Lord for that. Dear friend, the love of Jesus can draw our hearts and our souls and our lives to Him. This is the love of God. Love means esteem. Love means to care about somebody, to love their souls. And you know, you can't feign love. People can tell if you love them. It's a hard thing to put on. If you really, really love somebody and you care about their soul in your life. And you know, dear friend, to win souls, I believe as we win souls and see them come to the Lord Jesus and are born of Him, we simply have to love people, whether they are our neighbors, whether we come across them in life, whether we give them a tract or what. We've got to love them and care for people and love their souls. Whether in hospitals, wherever you go, you can find people that need love and they need the Lord Jesus. You can find young people and they need love and they need the things of the Lord. Golden Man, I was listening to a thing on TV the other night, and maybe you saw it, but it was all news to me. It was talking about, this was about young girls, and it was talking about what they go through and in their schools and so forth. It's been so long since I went to school, I don't remember too much about all of these things, but it was talking about the hate that went on among them and what one would do to the other, and it said they didn't fight. Reminded me when I was a boy, we used to get in tussles and all that, but we loved one another. It didn't last 5 minutes, you know what I mean? It was over and it was done. We had our arm around one shoulder and going on. It wasn't a thing in the world to it. It didn't matter at all to it. And I thought about, you hear about these little league ball games where the parents fight and fuss. Just leave that up to the kids. They'll work it out. They don't care so much who wins the game. They just want to have a good time and enjoy it. But you know, in all of these things, what are we living in today? Dear friend, we see it. They call it road rage. And you know, that scares the daylights out of me sometimes. Because I've seen people, they look like they're going to raise their fist at you, you know, when you pass them and so forth. We see so many things. There are all kinds of rage today. And it is very, very frightening in a world gone awry, in a world where we see buildings are blown up, in a world of hatred. But thank God that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Aren't you glad tonight for God's love? You know, that love draws us. The love of God draws us in Jesus to the love that He has for all in Christ. Now, this morning we talked much about the love of God, and we want to go on to just something different in it. As I thought about the love of God, I thought of the other things that I mentioned. It's hard to describe the love of God. It's just so wonderful. Then I began to think about the love of God. What most sums up God's love? And I began to think there's only one word, and it came to my mind as I thought about this, meditated on the love of God. What does this mean? What is it that really describes so much the love of God? You probably got it in your mind already, because you couldn't talk about God's love and leave it out. God's love is eternal. God's love is everlasting. Now we know that eternal is used without beginning, without end. It's used in various ways. It's used without end. And here it is, everlasting life. And I know some translators have rendered it, but have everlasting life. It means unending life in the Lord. He says, for God sent not His Son into the world to judge the world, to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. This is the same world that Jesus died for. For God so loved the world of men, the world of people. The world system is a system of hatred. And we see it today, dear friend. The world system is a system of hate. But here is the world for whom Christ died. Here is the world that God loves. And God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing, that the world through Him might be saved. I read an illustration about a man in Scotland. And he went to hear where they were telling him that, you know, only the elect can be saved. And they pushed and he read his Bible. And he was really terrified, and he wanted to be saved. And one day he was out working in the field, and he was reading this verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He saw this young, he called him Laddie, going on to school, and he had his arm full of books. And he was wondering what the word whosoever meant. He said, Lady, come on over here. He said, read this verse for me. And he read John 3:16, for God so loved the world, whosoever. He said, read it again. And he read it again. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, Lady, what does whosoever mean? He said, it means everybody. It means everybody. He said, praise the Lord. He said, I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior, and I don't care what to say, I'm going to be saved. Amen, dear friend. We can be saved. It says, whosoever will come to Him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. I read of another man from Scotland. You know, there's a lot of writings come out of the Scotch. I got some Scotch blood in me. I guess some other people have here. Yeah, we've all got a little of several kinds in. But this Scotchman wanted to get over to a friend. He wanted to get over to him how he could be saved, how he could have faith in Jesus. But he couldn't get it over to him. And then they had some bridges over there, those kinds, I think, that are made out of wood and they look shackly. I've seen them over here. I was preaching years ago around Hillsville one time, and I remember a fellow took me out on one of them. He wanted me to walk on it, and I don't think I ever did walk on it. It looked so shaky and so shackly to me, and he walked right on with his arms on the sides of it, and he walked right over it. And so he was trying to get across it, but he just couldn't seem to get up nerve enough. Now, I don't know anything about old Scotch, how they speak. You hear words like old anxiety and words like that. But someone shouted out to him, "What's the matter, laddie? Can't you lippin' the bridge?" And I have no idea what lippin' means. But evidently it means trust. From the context of it, it means, can't you trust the Lord? Can't you trust that bridge? Can't you put all your weight on it? Can't you just put yourself through it? So he lippin' the bridge and he got over it. And right like that, it came to his mind, this dear brother he was trying to win to the Lord, who couldn't see what he meant when he said, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to his friend and he said, can't you lip in Christ? Can't you believe in Christ? And the man knew what he was talking about. He understood that word, be it whatever it is and whatever it meant and however it was used. And I read poems that I can't really understand because he used all those Scotch words in it. But one thing, the man understood what it was to believe in Jesus Christ. And that's the wonder of it tonight. Whosoever will may come to Jesus. If you're not saved tonight, if you'll just believe on the Lord Jesus, he'll save your heart and he'll save your soul. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist who lived in the 1800s, was preaching over in England on one occasion. He had wonderful meetings, as we read from history over there, and the Lord blessed him in a wonderful and in a marvelous way. But after one of the services, a lady came out to talk with him after the service, and she said to him, "You've made me mighty upset, Mr. Moody." He said, "Well, why have I made you upset, dear lady?" He said, "Because listen, I've been trying to be saved for a long time and I'm not happy with it. And here you've told me that I might as well not try and that I might as well give it up because I can't save myself." And she says, "That's made me awfully unhappy." He gave us some verses and he says, "You go home and you read these verses and you come back and we'll talk some more about it." She was mighty angry, mighty hot. She went home and she thought about it. She gloriously got saved. She came back. She said, "Mr. Moody," said, "I was still awfully angry at you. But you know, I just gave up. And I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And I'm saved." You know, that's what it is to be saved. It's to give up the battle, to give up the fight. And just trust the Lord and believe on Him. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you've never actually trusted the Lord. Let me say this, just being born in a Christian home doesn't save you. Just being born, we can come to the services, we can do this or that or the other, but unless we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and this passage of Scripture says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. We're already lost because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I was looking at my Wheaton College alumni paper just recently, and I saw a picture of the lady whose husband was on the plane, you remember, and the plane was crashed because they took it over and saved us all from a lot of tragedy. And he's the one that said, "Let's roll." He said, "Let's roll." And they went to Wheaton College, and they were fine Christians. And knew the Lord. But you know, as we look at it, that's what the Lord is saying to us. Let's roll. He's saying to us, believe and trust and receive me. We're already lost. It says, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light because he shows us how to be saved. He shows us in the world of sin and darkness how we can come to know him. It says, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now, why do people not get saved today, dear friend? You know, man loves darkness rather than light. Why do people do evil? And why do we read of so much sin? It's because we love sin. And we have to come to the light. And when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, oh yes, our sins are forgiven. They're washed away. You know, sin is an awful thing. Sin is a terrible thing. I've talked to people in prisons. I've talked to people in asylums. I've talked to people of all kinds of walks of life and all kinds of things. And you know, it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing to think of what sin could do and what it does to the heart and what it does to the life. I remember a man came up in our chapel in Silas City. He came right down to the front. I was preaching. And he had schizophrenia, whatever that might be. And he heard voices and all the rest of it. Just put my arm around him and talk with him. He wanted love. He wanted love. And we had a good time in the Lord. Dear friend, that's the only thing that gives the answer to sin and evil to come and know the Lord Jesus Christ. He died a few months ago, and I trust that he came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it tells us the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know, that's one of the most simple verses in the Bible. If you have the Son, you have life. And that life is everlasting life. That is everlasting life. And you know, dear friend, as a Christian right now, each one of us has everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, dear friend, we don't have to wait to get it. I have everlasting life right now. And that means it will never end. All through the blessed ages of eternity, this life will continue. This life will go on because right now we have everlasting life. You know, every Christian ought to be victorious, don't you think? Every Christian ought to be happy and joyful and live to the glory of God because every believer has everlasting life. Well, I look back at that clock. You know, clocks can be enemies. I want to start now, but don't you worry. I'll tell you when the time is over, I'll be right there at the end of it. But I want to say a few things in just a few moments. It takes me back to school days. We used to have a teacher who was very hard, and he would get behind and take a while, and we had to have a certain amount of work that was completed and done. But he used to say this. He says, "Now I warn you, better get your assignments done and through, because," he says, "when it comes to the last stanza of the hymn, I'll be on time." And you know, that's like the Lord. The Lord's always on time. And his word is always with us. We want to think of that eternal life that we have in the Lord. Now, one of the great things that we have here, it says, should not perish. And that word perish is a strong word, is it not? It doesn't mean to die. It means perish. It means eternal. Life is eternal and death is eternal. And to perish is eternal. And here this means to be rejected by God. It means to be lost for all eternity. And it says here this thing in the negative. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish." I like that. You know, as a Christian, we can never perish. That's a wonderful truth of it tonight, that we can never perish because we are in Christ the Lord. This is the present, enduring, eternal life that we have in Christ Jesus. It says, should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then you notice the next phrase. It says, but have everlasting life. And you know, dear friend, notice there the present tense. But have everlasting life. There it is. We have life now. We have it tomorrow, and we will have it through all eternity, through all the eternal ages of the Lord. It is forever and forever. Someone said that time is too slow for those who wait, too swift for those who fear, too long for those who grieve, too short for those who rejoice. But for those who love, time is eternity. That's what time is for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, dear friend, we are talking eternity here. We're not talking about a weekend. We're not talking about a week or a few weeks or a few months or the time in a short service like we have. It's just a short time. We come together and the time is very fleeting and time moves on. We're talking about forever. Now, dear friend, if you're not saved tonight, we're talking about forever. Now, that's a long, long spell, is it not? Forever and forever, this says, have everlasting life. This is eternal life. Someone said, if I had but 1 year to live, 1 year to help, 1 year to give, 1 year to live and to bless, 1 year of better things to stress, 1 year to sing, 1 year to smile, to brighten the earth in this little while, I think that I would spend each day in just the same same way that I do now from afar. The call may come to cross the bar at any time. I must be prepared to meet eternity. So I have a year to live, or just a day in which to give, a pleasant smile, a helping hand, a mind that tries to understand a fellow creature when in need. 'Tis one with me, and take no heed, but try to live each day, he sends, to send my grace and glory, to send me grace and glory in my life. Dear friends, suppose we had 1 year to live. Have you ever looked back and thought of the things that you remember? You know, so much we think is so important in this life, but things happen and they go on. But you know, we remember some of the good times. When I think of my dear mother and father, and they were wonderful people, I praise the Lord for them, and I think of the wonderful things they did. They were ideal parents. But I remember one time I was in graduate school, I believe, and I had to be home, and there was a football game. And I always have loved football. And they, my father, took me to that football game, took mother and myself to the football game. And my mother loved football. She would sit there and cheer, and she just enjoyed that, you know. And we were down in Wallace Wade Stadium, sitting there, and the score was 21 to nothing. Now you think about that, 21 to nothing. And I never will forget, in those stands, they started saying, "Let's go, Big Blue, let's go! Let's go, Big Blue, let's go!" I thought, where are we going? 21 to nothing. And you know, they scored. And that was late in the third quarter of the game. And then in the fourth quarter, they scored. And it was 14 to 20. They didn't get the extra point. And that's important to it. As I look at it, it was 20 because they couldn't win without that. But there it was. Thought, ho-hum, can't win it anyway. There's not enough time left. And, you know, the game was almost over. There were just several minutes remaining. And, you know, that quarterback came out there very calmly. His name was Jerry Barger. I've never forgotten it. He came out there. He turned over his third downs. He kept going, making it, and finally they got down toward the goal line. I never will forget it. You couldn't tell where he was going to throw the ball, whether he was going to hand it off. He handed it off to his back, and his back ran into the line. There was a great pile up, and suddenly the referee was down there unpiling them, and he threw up his hand. And the score read 20-20. And I never will forget, they put the ball down, and the kick went up, and it was good. And I remember the Yellow Jackets were trying to get up the field, and the time ran out. And that's one of the greatest games that I ever saw. And, you know, as I look back, many of the things I remember is going to that game on that afternoon. Dear friend, everything is important in life. Let's live with eternity's values in view. The things that we do for others, the things that we think about for other people, the things that we do as far as for winning souls for Jesus Christ. Those are the important things in life. As we look at it, as we think about this, it says, have eternal life. What will we remember in life? What will be important as life goes by? Oh, let's never be upset. Let's never take the short view. But let's live always with eternity's values in view. You know, that's a very important thing in the Christian life. Have everlasting life. We have so many other things we could say. I would say about love is this, that it should challenge us. You know, it should challenge every heart that we have here for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It should control us. Christ's love should control us. It should be in every part of our life. And it ought to console us. And we need to be consoled in these days. And also, it should cheer us. You know, Jesus said, be of good cheer. And that's interesting to see how much he said that and how he used it in the Word of God. You know, I think of the love of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think of those words, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything, now I gladly own him as my King, now my raptured soul can sing of Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. May we pray. Father, we come before you tonight. We are moved by love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It comes to our thought tonight that there may be someone here who would like to trust Jesus as his own personal Savior. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. With every head bowed, no one looking around, if there's someone who wants to be saved tonight, you can slip out. Trust the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. You're saved by believing in him, by trusting in him as your own personal Savior. Make that testimony before others that you trust him as your own personal Savior. But if you're not saved tonight, we trust that you won't leave this place unless you've been born of the Spirit and washed in the blood. Father, as we do go, we pray that you will just comfort our hearts, fill our hearts with love. We know you. We have people here who are loving Christians. We thank you for them and for their wonderful testimony. As we look back over these many years, we see many that we have loved in the past. We think today of our walk, and we walk back over here by the house of one who's gone to be with the Lord. We think of the things of the Lord and of other years that draw around us. But we thank you for your love. And some are up yonder, and we know that we'll all be together throughout all eternity. Bless the meeting. Bless each and every one. May the love of Christ be in our hearts and be shed abroad through the Holy Spirit, and blessed be the